Okay, this is Lori Hoyt, your other co-host, and we are very happy, particularly happy and pleased tonight to have one of our dear friends and a fellow NAACP brothers, David Caldwell. Let me tell you a little bit about David. He is currently the project director for the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association, called RENA for short, and serves on the executive board of directors. He is also a part of the Coalition to End Environmental Racism and the North Carolina Environmental Justice Network. Okay, now that's not all, folks. He has worked with community members and academic partners to participate in three community-based participatory research projects with RENA, including water health and quality of life in a community bordering a landfill. Odors, health, and quality of life. Odors, health, and quality of life in a community bordering a landfill, and well and septic evaluations. Mr. Caldwell is also a community-based participatory research CBPR expert and consultant who contracts with the North Carolina Translational and Clinical Sciences Institute to advise research partnerships on strategies to advance their use of CBPR approaches. Okay, and we're almost finished with this. He is also the second vice chair of the, what is this here? The Orange County Democratic Party, and also the head of the NAACP Environmental Committee. Well, David, how did you have time to get here today? You are a busy person.
Oh, it's not as busy as it looks if you organize it right.
So you're a well-organized person.
I try to be. Hope to be.
Yeah, well, I'm impressed by that because that's one of the things I continually need to work on. But I've known David through the NAACP and through RENA. As we said, that's the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association. And I think for our listeners, maybe just when you hear initials and titles, you're sometimes not cluing in. So why don't you just tell us essentially what RENA SEER is?
Yes, RENA is, the, as you said, the Rogers Eubanks Neighborhood Association that was started some 20-plus years ago in our community. What had happened is that we were a community that grew tired of waiting on things to be done, and too many committees were spending too much time on the problems and not on the solutions. So our goal was to quit repeating what the problem was and start working on the solutions. That's one of the goals of our community. Also, we found that because of our community's location and makeup, that we were not being taken serious. And we found that once we broadened our scope, we created SEER, which is the Coalition to End Environmental Racism. And when the powers that be saw the different faces in the audience, they took us a little more serious.
So you started out just with your own community, and you weren't getting heard. And folks, this is all about the landfill, which was put there, 40 years ago now?
Yes.
40 years ago, with the promise by the then mayor, the first African-American mayor that we're very proud of, Howard Lee, that this would be 10 years, and then it would be covered over with grass, and it would be made a park and be a community asset if they just would put up with that for 10 years. Unfortunately, there wasn't a written contract, and even then, that maybe could have been broken, who knows, but this is 40 years later, and this has been a tremendous struggle in this small community. And as David just told us, when they reached out and brought in other community groups who really care about social justice, who care about the environment, because this has become an environmental hazard, to the community, the water. We can go into more of that, but they started getting listened to better than they had been, and it's still been a struggle, but there is progress, and that's the good news.
And the struggle continues.
But where do things stand right now? Because haven't they voted, but is it still a little squishy?
It's still, they're in the process of going over a mitigation plan that we're producing. Several other things are in the works where last year we had our community clean up. Well, we had over 100 volunteers and picked up close to 3 tons of garbage, where 62% of it was recyclable and recycled.
And this is because this is in addition to the landfill.
Yes.
Some people don't seem to quite make it to the landfill. Maybe it's closed when they go, or they're lazy, or whatever. But they dump things all around that neighborhood. There was a lot of tires.
We had tires. We had paint, petroleum products, machinery, what they call white goods, washing machines, refrigerators, things of that type. And in doing it, and it really did good. We did the that cleanup, and then we had our cleanup this year, and we did so well last year that we were asked by Chapel Hill to participate in the statewide cleanup. I was advised by them that North Carolina came in third with the most volunteers of about 25,000 behind California and Florida.
So let me get this straight. So you all did so well with your community one that you recommended to the state that the state...
We were requested by Chapel Hill to join the state in their statewide. It was a national cleanup, but be a part of North Carolina's neighborhood cleanup.
Wow, that is wonderful. So did Chapel Hill, did they provide like trucks and stuff for you?
The first time they came out when we did the big pickup, we did have we had the roll-offs and the recycling containers, and they had two employees out there that did a great job helping us and directing us where, and I think that's why the recycling went so well.
Yeah.
And like I said, we got close to 3 tons. This year we had close to 50 volunteers. We didn't get into the big polluted illegal dump sites, but we did manage to pick up 61 pounds of garbage in about a 2-hour period.
Okay.
So it's good that, you know, we're getting less and less, and hopefully, you know, I'd be happy to go out and pick up 20 pounds.
Yes, the wonderful day will be when you don't have to go and pick up other people's garbage that they're putting where they shouldn't be putting it in neighborhoods where there's people trying to live and have their lives and there's children, et cetera.
Yes.
So this is a wonderful success. And like you said, you waited and hoped for the town to do stuff, and now y'all have taken the initiative, and the town is being more responsive.
Yes, yes.
So where is the landfill now still supposed to be leaving in a couple of years?
Everything is up in the air. We've been given dates several times.
And that's why I'm confused.
Every time you get, you know, we used to say every time we get close to the goal line, they move it back another 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So
The
decision was made that it got out that it was going to close, and I got several calls by reporters and other people, and my response was that when I see the gate closed and a lock on it, I will believe it.
But not
until then.
You also mentioned about mitigation things. You want to tell us about that, where there's been some help with the ones that's with the wells?
Sure, yes, the mitigation plan is just the... what they want to call it, compensation or reparation or whatever, for the promises that were made. And the mitigation is just where we're coming in and presenting them with a list of things that we would like to see.
Mm-hmm.
People that will get their wells and septics done, taken care of, sewer run through the neighborhood like was promised. We have senior citizens that need so many things and repairs and things of that nature on their homes. Several of the other things are... one of the things promised is a recreation center, recreation grounds, a community center where people could meet. Those things didn't happen, so we weren't going to waive them, so we went and did our own.
So tell our listeners about your wonderful community center.
We love it. We started in 72 in an old trailer. off of Rush Road that was given to us by my father. And that's where we had our first back-to-school bash 20-plus years ago.
Oh, I didn't know anything yes. about that.
Yes. As a matter of fact, we gave out the little brown lunch bags, and they were filled with a pack of notebook paper, a pencil, an ink pen, erasers, and a pencil sharpener.
Uh-huh.
And that was the extent of it. This past year, we did 500.
Backpacks.
Back-to-school bash, where the bags are filled with supplies for the kids. And we just felt that kids feel better when they go in with a backpack and the proper school supplies.
Oh, it's
so
it's
it is
wonderful.
Really grown.
And if you go, and I want to tell our listeners, I somehow missed it this year, but I was there last year. And when you see the look on the children's faces when they get their beautiful new backpack, and it's a whole big celebration day. It starts off in church with different things, encouraging the children, and a wonderful program. And then people come over to the community center, and there's food and parents and kids, and it's just a wonderful community celebration. And then when they get the backpacks, the look on their faces, they are so proud, and they're showing each other and showing off their backpack. It's enough to make the most cynical person smile and be happy.
Yes,
yeah.
And we started out, and people, you know, it's our community house, but we serve everyone and don't turn anybody away.
That's right. That 500 was not just your community.
Exactly.
You reach out to
we
other
have
communities.
Them from Durham Habitat Communities, Durham County, Durham City, Chatham County. We had a couple that came.
I didn't know you went that far. I just thought it was other places.
No, we don't go, but they come to us.
Really?
They actually come to us, yes.
Oh, wow.
Chatham County, Durham, some out of Wake. Couple out of Wake. We keep records of who comes in and who we give them to. And it worked real well.
You never turn anybody away.
No, as a matter of fact, last year we even sent 10 backpacks to Haiti working with the North Carolina, I can't think of the organization, Employment Security Commission. They were taking up packs, and we contributed 10 backpacks to them last year, and I think we're going to make another contribution to them this year. They generally pick up any place in the world that has been, you know, ravaged or having a hard time. And so we do that, and now we say we're international.
Wow. So this little community, because it was hurting so badly and so frustrated, has taken that talk about making lemonade out of a lemon. This is kind of a trite remark, but it's just wonderful. When I go to that community center, it's a small house, but it's set back in the trees, and it's so warm and welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was built in the 1940s by the Rogers, who are, you know, part of the neighborhood.
Oh.
And trying to find a place. To me, I checked throughout the neighborhood because we found that we needed somewhere for the kids to meet. Traffic was getting horrendous on Rogers Road. We needed somewhere to meet. We had kids with all types of problems and just a place to sit and organize.
Mm-hmm.
And we just happened to mention to Mr. and Mrs. Jimmy Rogers what we were doing. And their thing was, hey, take the house. Go ahead, take good care of it. You know, we'd rather have you guys in there. They had rented it in the past and without, you know, a good feeling about it.
Yeah.
And we have an excellent relationship with them.
Oh,
and they participate. She comes to our computer classes, and he helps with all sorts of things at all of our programs. He shows up.
And it's in such a beautiful setting. It's
yes.
a little house, but it's in right in these towering trees.
Yes.
And it's just so when you do a community event with the children's stuff, it's such a pleasant place because, of course, most of that is outside with 500 children and parents.
Yes.
We pray for good weather on a day like
yes.
that, right?
Yes, we do. and as a matter of fact, we had bad weather this year. It rained up until about 1 o'clock, and we still had... about 300 families that showed up.
Wow.
So they even, you know, rain or shine from now on.
Yeah. Well, of course, it's always the church, I guess, for backup, too, if the weather's too bad. So we're talking about the Rogers Road Community Center, and David's just given me their beautiful new flyer for 2012. Is there anything else coming up soon? Because I know the holidays are here.
Oh, we have set up for 2012. We're going to have, we'll be doing art classes. We're having a resume writing workshop and with people not just in the community, but you know, we'll put the word out to the different churches and other organizations, anyone want to help doing resumes for jobs.
And you have after school for children, right?
Yes, we do. We had our biggest amount yesterday of 18.
Wow.
That showed up.
We got that little house. Huh?
Yes, ma'am. We got with Morris Grove Elementary School, which is the elementary school for our area.
Uh-huh.
The principal, Ms. Rickett, is excellent. We told her we were trying to get kids out, and she knew that the kids had a problem, needed help, but couldn't stay after school. So she and a group of her teachers volunteered. They gave us 5 weeks of every Tuesday and Thursday. And they come out and told their kids, we're going to be at the Rena House. Meet us down there. We'll do homework together.
That is wonderful.
So the teachers have been coming, and they've got about 2 more weeks on that pledge.
Yeah.
And it has been working. So they come out and help with homework. We have students from UNC that come and help with homework.
I was just going to ask, surely some UNC students could be involved with this.
They come out and help. We also have people in the community that come out and help.
Great.
So the kids are really doing good, and they feel better when they go to school and they've done their homework.
Yeah, yes.
And they have it, instead of figuring out a way of how am I going to get out of this.
And that there's some adult who's not so harried, like a poor mom who's been working all day trying to get supper on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I've got two daughters who are single parents, you know, and it's one of the hardest things. I don't think anybody realizes whether, I guess it's a man or a woman, I'm just more familiar, it's more likely women.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to get supper on the table, you're tired, your feet hurt, and the kids are tired, and then to try to help them with their homework, there's not a whole lot of give left in moms at the end of a day like that, where you have some volunteers and people mm-hmm. who have that energy to help the kids, that's so they can go home and have their supper, and mom doesn't have to worry. Maybe you can read them a story, but not have to try to do it all. That's wonderful.
We also have our, with our new Habitat neighbors that are in, and we all participate together, we've started an English class. Where they're our Koreans and the other population are learning English, taught mm-hmm. by the Orange County Literacy Council there.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that every Tuesday and Thursday from 6 to 7:30.
Wow.
So that's working out. And we're trying to start Spanish classes
mm-hmm.
in 2012.
And that's one thing for our listeners to know, that Minister Campbell and the RENA organization, they are so invested in doing outreach to all the community groups. It's not just for African Americans. It's for all the communities that are out there, and make a point of trying to get the different communities together. I've been so moved when I've heard you all talk about that.
Yes, we're always asked by different organizations to pass, you know, you pass the word out in your community. And if they give us a flyer, one of our prerequisites is that it is in Spanish.
Yeah.
For right now, and we're working on having people to put it in, getting other people that can translate the flyers into the other different languages.
Wow.
It's hard to feel like a community or part of anything when you can't communicate.
Yes.
And that's the big thing. And now we have, of course, we have our soccer team that comes over, and all the young kids come and participate.
Now, where do you put, is that in that field?
Up in the field in front of the building.
It's a big field as you're going down Purefoy to where the community center is. It's just off Rogers Road. It's not on Rogers mm-hmm. Road. And there's this huge field, so that's where you play soccer.
You do soccer, yes. And I just got a call. The Blue Ribbon Task Force next year, 2012, wants to set up several soccer clinics there next year, so we'll be doing that and bringing in even more kids.
That's wonderful.
So.
And I talk about Minister Campbell was talking about when there was a problem with bullying.
Yes. We've had several problems with that, and just I hadn't talked to him about it personally or remember, but I do know we had some problems. It's the thing of getting the kids together and talking and letting them know what's going on and that there is someone that they can come to.
Yeah.
Another thing about that is that as we found through our soccer practice, when some of the parents come down, they separate. just like the kids do in school at lunchtime, you have your different groups separating. And we have gradually started to see that change.
That's what I wanted to talk about.
All the parents are, they come now and they sit and talk about how their day went and what they're doing and everything.
With each other. And it takes, you know, time and patience to kind of get these groups that are a little wary of each other sitting separately like the kids will do at the lunchroom and doing that little nudging and encouragement so they get feeling comfortable having these community eating together, these celebrations where the people kind of loosen up and realize that it's safe.
Yes.
And
we even collaborated with Abbey Court here in Carrboro. And every Friday, the kids generally have homework, and their kids have it Monday through Thursday. The teachers don't generally give homework on Fridays. So every Friday, they come out to Arena. They bring a van, load the kids, and we have movie night, soccer, popcorn, everything for about 3.5-4 hours.
Oh, that I
so
did not.
So they generally bring about 20 kids out, and
that
they look so forward
wonderful.
To it. Of course, you know they're having problems now. We don't know what the outcome is going to be, and it's going to really. But we're pulling for them and working with them, and hopefully it's going to work out for them.
Well, we'll just mention and take a short break to mention what you're referring to. Abbey Court is another community organizing effort spearheaded by Judith Blau, a sociology, I believe, a professor who gets her students involved. It's so wonderful when learning isn't just abstract up in your head, but she takes it where it's hands-on. And Abbey Court is a condos and apartments off Jones Ferry Road that have a large population of Hispanics. And she's gone out there and has either rented or bought two apartments, and just similar to what you're trying to do in the Rogers Road community, has tutoring classes for the kids, just all kinds of community building and community support things. I think probably some English learning classes, but they've just recently been asked to move from there, and they've been given 90 days, and so they'll be looking. Any listeners know any little house in that area looking for a little house where they can, they also want to work with the day laborers and have where they can get classes and build up their skills. And so these community building grassroots efforts are just so empowering for the people involved and are so heartening when we, all the problems we can get ourselves in despair talking about, and then, you know, then when these things are happening that are so positive,
absolutely,
you just know that it's that there is a lot of hope here.
Yes, and Dr. Blau and our organization and several others, our organizations that, you know, they saw a problem, not waiting for anybody to correct it, and took action.
And
that's what we're going to have. And there's so many other things happening now, you know, the same, you know, problems that we have is that we need to take action on. And, you know, we didn't wait. We did that. We saw the education gap was being talked about. So we wanted to do a camp, but we didn't want to call it a summer camp. And we call ours a summer enrichment camp. And it's not playing. The kids, we did first grade to the eighth grade. We got real lucky. We had several young volunteers that came in out of the community, 13, 14-year-olds that worked with the young kids. They got a very small stipend, but time for to buy school supplies and clothes for school. They had a little bit of money, which made them feel real independent and have a job to get up and go to.
And feel that they're important and part of something instead of the teenage angst and alienation and sitting in front of either the TV or, you know, listening with their ears with plugged up with music, which is fine. Music is wonderful. But not a sense of connection with other people, and especially that connection with some adults, and they're helping out the kids, and to see they have something to offer.
Yes. We had originally hoped that we'd be able to accommodate about 40 students. We quickly realized that our little building and our well and septic tank wouldn't handle that many, but we ended up with a 25 registered, and we always had at least 22 every day.
It's just a nice amount for that little building.
And that was what, so we know we're making some changes for next year. Mm-hmm. But we have we've lined up a director, a young lady that works out at Miss Crystal Jones, that works out at, I think, Glenwood. Miss Reed, who just retired from Marsh Grove with 30 years experience, is our advisor.
Great.
Well, we work very close to Miss Rickett at Marsh Grove. So we're really looking to really take off. I'm looking to do a budget of about $10,000 to run it this year, which is going to really make it go. My first, second, and third week, I was turning about 5 kids away per week because we couldn't take them.
So we're going to take a station break and come back to about the budget, and I want to come back to the community garden.
Yes.
There's just so much going on there. It is amazing. Okay, Dick. Yeah. Are we?
This is WCOM LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. And this is the wake-up call presented by the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom Triangle Branch here in Chapel Hill in our 76th year of providing peace and justice. Working for peace and justice. Yeah, we try and provide it.
We do. We try to be as peaceful and just as we can be.
Right. And the underwriters of the show is the Internationalist Bookstore at 405 West Franklin Street in Chapel Hill, where you can get magazines and books of the kind you don't generally find in your typical Barnes & Noble or whatever.
Big box.
Right. Or in the big box stores. And you can also find cultural events and events of a learning nature, forums and discussion groups. There's movie nights, right.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things going on at the Internationalist Bookstore, and you need to drop in and check it out. You can also go to their website, which is internationalistbooks.org.
And what is our website, the Women's International League?
Do you really want to know that? Oh, yes, of course you do.
I listen to our
yes,
Get Your Pencil app. We always give you information, and we'll give more information about the Rogers Road community. We hope that we whet your appetite, and then you go and look up more information.
Right.
And maybe get involved even.
Yes, and so we encourage you to go to trianglewilpf.org. And you can look around, see what the latest things are that Wilf is doing. We try and keep the website reasonably well updated. And you can also go to the radio area and look up old shows from the radio.
A lot of which are still very pertinent.
Yes,
today.
We certainly have
fracking, all kinds of up-to-date things
that you might
want to...
Right. All the bad stuff and some of the good stuff.
And some of the good stuff.
So we try and make sure that we keep that up to date, too. Now, we have a WCOM fundraiser. Fun, fresh, live, and local is WCOM, heard at 103.5 FM and on the Internet at WCOMFM.org, which is the WCOM website. We are supported by listeners like you, our underwriters, our contributors, and our volunteers. It's an all-volunteer operation.
All volunteers.
Right. So, but we do have to, pay the light bill and the rent. In the coming weeks, to help with our operating expenses, we'll be conducting an on-the-air membership fundraising drive. WCOM needs your help and is asking you to make a tax-deductible donation to the station on our website, wcomfm.org, or you can mail a check to WCOM, 208 East Main Street in Carrboro, North Carolina, 27510. That's WCOM, 208 East Main Street, Carrboro, North Carolina, 27510. Help keep the most innovative and diverse radio station in the Triangle strong. Remember, we are your voice in the community with something for everyone. And you can, if you wish, contact us about maybe doing your own radio show, because there are spaces available on the schedule. And we thank you for your support.
Well, so, and I think that you wanted to, Dick is approaching his 70th birthday, and you're going to You're finally coming of age and getting all that wisdom and maturity that just is coming right out over the airwaves. And you want to tell about what you're doing to celebrate your birthday?
Yeah.
That our listeners are all invited to celebrate with you?
Yes, we'd like to have all of you folks who would be interested in some a little bit of culture, some inspirational talk, we hope, maybe a couple of raggedy old stories about me. and the highlight of the show, perhaps, will be Vimala of Curry Blossom Cafe providing some food to eat. And then it's going to be at the Hargraves Community Center from 5 to 7 p.m. on December 18th, which is a week and a half from now. And so we would like to have you come, and I'm going to be promoting the Southern Anti-Racism Network, too, and we'll hope to have you all be able to chip in a little bit to help support the Southern Anti-Racism Network, SARN.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful evening, and that you'll be doing something good for the Southern Anti-Racism Network, but right. also getting to meet Dick Paddock and celebrate with all of us his 70th right. birthday.
And there's no admission charge. We just ask you to make a donation.
Just a little donation or a big, whichever you can for right. a good cause.
And come and enjoy.
And come and have wonderful food.
And the food, yes.
The food's always great.
The food and the fellowship.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. I think the only other thing I wanted to mention in terms of announcements is that the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom is vigiling every Wednesday now in support of Occupy Chapel Hill from 12 to 1 every Wednesday. We go down and stand there with some signs. And the Raging Grannies are supporting it, too. And we usually, there's some of us there singing a few songs. And we'd love to see you and come talk with us. And but also to support what we think is one of the most hopeful things in recent months, the whole Occupy National Movement, which is... you know, changing the conversation nationally from just constantly talking about the deficit, and now it's much more talk, which they brought to the forefront about the gap between the rich and the poor, the 99% versus the 1%, and the whole economy needing to change, our whole political structure in terms of the power of the corporations and lobbyists needing to change. And so it's exciting and hopeful, and they're doing other things besides just being in front of the post office occupying that space, but they do have that space, and they are having general assemblies where more people come and kind of talk about what direction they want to go in and what they can do to try to be as effective as possible. And they're on Sundays at 3 or 4 o'clock. They just changed it, I think, to 4, but I'm not quite sure. But I'm sure you can also go on the internet and Google or, you know, Occupy Chapel Hill. So we encourage you to do that. And the Women's International League is definitely out there supporting them. So we want to get back to our guest, David Caldwell. He is with the Rena Sear, the Rogers Road Eubanks Association, and also with the NAACP. And we started talking about that you had, with all these programs you're doing, that there was a budget. Now, is that from the town? You get a budget from the town?
I guess just a couple of years ago, we finally started up being approved for grants.
Okay.
So we were able to apply for the outside agency grant, which is Chapel Hill Carborough in Orange County. We did get some funding from Orange County. I'm sorry, from Chapel Hill and Carborough, mm-hmm. which helped us a lot last year. And Chapel Hill doubled what they gave us this year from last year.
Wonderful.
Which helps us take care of it. The only problem with those is that you have to spend the money first, present receipts, and then get the money back.
Oh, really? So you got some money to lay out.
Yes.
So that's hard when you...
Well, yes, we do a lot of traveling around, speaking, and asking for money.
For donations.
For donations, well, yes.
So I didn't realize that. So listen up, everybody. This is a wonderful... We've just talked about other things, but this is also right up there in terms of one of the best places you can put a few of your hard-earned bucks is to help a community that has been helping itself. And yes. and taking what the bit in their mouth or something and running with it, whatever
absolutely.
The metaphor is.
Absolutely, and not like I said, not just restricting to our community but to the others. We do. I think even with our bread ministries, where we and food porch helps us. Mm-hmm. We get donations from them that's divided, and we give. We went from 50 families. I think we just went up to 70 families this week.
That you help
that
with
we
food.
Help with food, and that's every other Friday.
Do they come to the...
Some people come by and pick it up. Those are within a reasonable distance for us, we'll, or have problems, we'll drop it off for
uh-huh.
them. Some have neighbors pick them up, different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We also get bread from Panera's every Friday, which every other Friday we donate to the shelter.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
So then, and then our people will keep it and distribute it through our people on the Friday that we do our food.
Okay.
So it works out real well for us.
Yeah.
Is that book, have you mentioned anything about that yet?
This is a book, no, I haven't, but what we did is Emily Eitner Pierce was with the university, and we were trying to figure out a way to get our story told. And at first we were going to do, we didn't know what, just some papers or whatever. And we said, well, let's do an oral history on a book. And well, we started with the oral history, and then we ended up with the book. Now, this book, many times when Reverend Campbell and I travel around the state speaking on the things that we've done, we advise them that they can actually use this book as a training, piece of training material and go mm-hmm. by. And if they follow what we did, we practically guarantee them the same type of success. If they just believe in it.
And this is something we do want to highlight, that you're just saying, that not only are you working with the landfill and the environmental effects of that on the people's wells and health and in your community, but you're going around the state teaching and training other people who are facing similar problems, because this is not our problem in Chapel Hill.
Yes.
It's all over, that landfills tend to be placed in poor communities. A lot of times, people of color in
yes.
those poor communities, mm-hmm. and so that impressed me when I started hearing about Minister Campbell going to this part of the state and that part of the state. I don't know mm-hmm. where you all find the time and energy, but it's impressive.
Yes.
And so this book, I didn't know about the book.
Oh, really? It's been out. It has our history in it, which in our community started in the 1700 by freed slaves. And it brings it right on up to date to our current battles with the governments over the problems with the landfill. We did. It has family histories in it, prominent families, not just with the Rogers Road, but with the Chapel Hill, Carver, and Orange County area.
This is wonderful.
Yes.
I'm currently. How did I not hear about this?
I don't know either.
But this. So, if people want to get a copy of this book, it traces the history of historic African American community in Orange County from the 1700s
yes.
until today. I did not know it went back that early.
Yes, we do.
So this talk about history. Hey, you history buffs out there. So how can people get copies of this book?
They can contact us or go online at our website.
Well, tell us. That's what we'll do right now. Let's get that website out there.
And it's www.rogersroad.org.
Mm-hmm.
And it has all the information. It has a lot of our history. It has any articles that have been written about us. It talks about the different programs that we've worked with, the different travelings and speeches that we've done, the different battles, which were, you know, like with the waste transfer station that was really tried to put out there. And every time a battle stops, you know, if you don't stay vigilant, another one will slip in on you and you won't be prepared for it. So it's never ending.
That's
true. We have several things going on right now. But you can't let that stop anything. So,
no.
You know, along with our food and everything, we have a community garden.
Yes, I'd love us to get to that.
Yes, that we looked around and tried to find a place and everything. We got lucky, and one of our members, Ms. Barbara Hopkins, said, yes, we'll put it in my yard. So it's about just a little less than a quarter of an acre. The strange thing is we had professors and kids from EWB and everybody come out, and they said, well, you need to do this, and we're going to test the soil and this type of deal. And we had an old gentleman come out on a tractor, and he said, you do it on this time of the year when it's a full moon before this frost and blah, blah, blah. And we did it in our first garden. We fed 100 people on a regular basis. And he taught us how to also do two crops per year. So we do, in the spring, we'll do our corn and those type things. Then in the fall, we'll do the greens and turnip salad and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And it was put in to create, to get back to the camaraderie and knowing your neighbors.
Yes.
And that's what happened is that our neighbors come out and they talk while some will just sit out and watch the other people work in the garden or pit just to have conversation, to get back to knowing your neighbors.
Yeah.
So it worked out great. Every Saturday, anybody that wants to volunteer, wants to come out and work in it, every Saturday between 10 and 12, they come out and they, these kids from EWB, Engineers Without Borders from UNC.
What's EWB?
Engineers Without Borders.
Oh.
They help us do a lot of our research and everything, volunteering through UNC. They come out, they have a group that comes out, and they will weed and clean and, you know, and garden and everything.
Wow.
So that keeps it going. We're hoping through this last grant that we got that we can get a tiller that we're working on. Of course, we have to pay for it first and then show our receipts when we hand our paperwork in.
Yeah.
But we're hoping to be able to do that, which is going to save a lot of backs and hands. But other than that, it works very well.
Well, you know, you're all in the forefront of this whole food movement, which is another whole issue we'll have a show or two on, where people are realizing that this industrial food is not good for our health. You and I were talking before the show started about meat grown industrially. That's not healthy. Not healthy for the workers who are working there. And there's this whole movement of people realizing, as the cancer rates go up, as all other kinds of diabetes, all other kinds of things, how important. And gardens are a wonderful way for kids to start. There's nothing that tastes better than a carrot maybe that you've grown and you've picked, you know.
And they have to understand that. We have several at our summer school or enrichment camp. One of the programs is that the kids have a raised flower garden. And they did watermelon, string beans, and something else. And they all grew. And the sad thing was that camp was over by the time they were able to be harvested. But in our large garden, the kids would come out and work. And we had one young man, 7, 8 years old, his first time he had seen broccoli. And he said, no, Reverend Camp said, that's broccoli. He says, no, broccoli comes in a box and you buy it at the grocery store. That's not broccoli.
Oh.
And they take it out and pull it out. And he showed them, you know, you take mine, you grab something, just pick it up. And you eat it there. And they were just totally amazed with that.
Yeah.
And that's what that's one of the things we put is being self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government or anybody to hand you anything, because you're going to, once you explain it to one group, all they're going to do is say, take your problem to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, explain it one time. If you don't get results, keep working on the problem,
mm-hmm.
but also work on the solution.
Yeah. Well, you all have done amazing with that, and I know that garden, I remember Minister Campbell talking about, what was he talking about with the fence, and that just by getting a door in that fence, one community was connected to another community that were separated by this fence?
We're probably the only community in the United States that has pretty much three habitat communities as close as they are together.
There's three?
Yes. And there's about a 13 house community, then there's another 13, and now the 52 house community that's coming up. And all, I can stand on my back porch and see all three of them.
Wow.
That's how close they are. But the problem was is that as soon as the houses went up, they put fences up. And fences make good neighbors, but you still don't get to, you still have to know your neighbor. And that
exactly.
was one of the things that we did was, or that Reverend Campbell did, was request that they put a fence between the two neighborhoods. And the gentleman that lives there is very nice, and he has no problems. And the kids go back and forth through the fence.
To have a door where you
yes.
can get through the fence,
so they
yeah.
get through and go right to the community, to the next
yeah.
neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it works real well.
Wow. So, I mean, it's just that kind of thinking, that kind of vision, and that kind of sense of how you build community. Because a lot of us may not be that creative to even think of. Sometimes it's those simple things, getting a door in their fence to connect two communities that were separated. And that's just, things like that don't cost a lot of money, but they do mean that you're paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And that you care about community, and you're always thinking of ways to foster and increase and
yes.
enrich and nurture mm-hmm. community.
Examples are just, you know, if we ever get another ice storm where nobody can get to you, you know, is your
yeah.
neighbor going to be a good enough neighbor to
yeah.
say, hey, come over to my house?
Yeah.
Or, you know, like we did is with the big cookout and,
yeah.
you know, brought different people in and said, well, I don't want my food to spoil. Bring it down, and we all cooked it, and everybody ate, and
yeah.
you know, those type things.
Help each other
yeah,
out.
Yeah, so, I mean, we even have emergency plans set up with different families in case something happens. They said, well, you guys are being extremists. No, we're being prepared, because we've seen what our governments have done,
yeah.
and yes, they're lacking in taking care of us, which is why we put them there.
Yeah.
So we have to take care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's going to start right there.
Well, David, I just hope that the listeners are as impressed as I am, and every time I go to your community, the warmth and positive energy of this program starting and this program flourishing, and you know, the looks on the kids' faces when it's a celebration with the children and things, it's just wonderful. Anything that you ever thought about believing in community, that you all are doing it. And doing it well,
yeah.
and creatively.
Two quick things is that we have where our center is located in the fall. You can stand and look at the back of the landfill, and it's just so ironic that the new habitat area is called Phoenix, which is the bird that rose from the fire.
From the fire.
And we look at our center, and we see the kids playing and the successes. And we feel like the phoenix coming out of that.
Yeah.
We try to do everything in the neighborhoods, and we know that the things going on with, for instance, our Halloweens. This year we had a Halloween bash. We did a trail through the woods behind the center. It was not publicized, just word of mouth. Everybody was invited. And we had 150 kids come through. And close to 200 people showed up. And the students came, and we had high school kids gave tours through the haunted trail.
We had
a haunted trail. We had face painting. We did a mummy wrap. we had just simple things like setting three cans up on a table and letting them throw tennis balls at it.
Uh-huh.
And there was a line. We just never believed it would be like that. And it was just so great. And it was safe. Nobody
yeah.
was worried. People came in and had a wonderful time. And we really, even the kids that worked and that came, and the parents are looking forward to next year's.
Well,
so those are the type of things that we do, and
the types of things that you do, huh? That
yes.
is just it really is the phoenix rising. It's a miraculous. Let's do that website again, David, because sometimes people don't have their pencil or pen ready.
Yes, it's www.rogersroad.org.
Okay, and the other thing, when I was inviting you, it was at an NAACP meeting, so I don't know if we've only got a couple minutes, but that you're real active with the NAACP. They have what we're preparing for now is the Martin Luther King Day celebration,
mm-hmm.
which will be on his birthday. I forget what the date is right now, but January 9th, I think
it is,
something
yeah.
like that. And just to let people know, this is a yearly event. Starts out with a rally at the post office.
Peace and Justice Plaza.
Peace and Justice Plaza at the post office. Mm-hmm. And this year, the Occupy folks will be invited, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And this is something that a lot of young people and old folks, like myself. And there's usually a short program at the Peace and Justice Plaza. Some speakers about some of what's going on, and then we march from there to First Baptist Church on Roberson Street for a wonderful church service where there's music. There's usually at least a couple of
choirs. Representative Larry Hall will be the keynote speaker.
So that'll be great. So that's another invitation, listeners. Just get your calendar out, not just your pen and pencil, because you know we're filling up your social calendar right here and now, and all the fun that you can have. And that's such a wonderful way to celebrate our holding dear the memory of Martin Luther King Jr. and a way to be together with people who care about social justice. And to celebrate his life and what he taught us all, so that's coming up too, and so we're getting ready to say goodbye.
Yeah, we're winding down a little bit here.
Winding down, we'll go out on some music.
Yeah, but first I would like to mention again the fundraiser.
Yes.
That we're having here at WCOM in order to keep it on the air.
This is a community treasure. This is another community treasure, a volunteer run, just like Rogers Road, like the Women's International League. This is what makes a community, and this radio has struggled for a long time to get this going, and it's a wonderful. There are all kinds of programs. Amy Goodman is on every morning from 8 to 9 o'clock Monday through Friday.
Right. You actually catch her at the time the broadcast originates.
Yes.
And, of course, you can get it on WCOM at 103.5.
103.5 FM. Yes.
FM. And you can also get it streamed at the website, wcomfm.org.
If you have a little, it is a low power station, and if you have a little difficulty with static or losing up your station, yes, if you have a computer, you can get it live on the computer.
Please help yourself. So anyway, about the
and Dick's birthday celebration.
Right. About the fundraising, we're conducting an on-the-air membership fundraising drive. We're asking you to become a WCOM member by making a tax-deductible, and it'd really be wonderful if it could be a recurring donation, like once every month, to the station at the website wcomfm.org. Or you can do it the old-fashioned way, mail a check to WCOM, 208 East Main Street, Carrboro, North Carolina, 27510.
That monthly, having it come out automatically, it's a nice way for an organization you want to support. You can have as little as 5, 10, even better, but you can have, instead of feeling that you can't give very much, this is a way that even a little bit over a year's time, times 12, adds up. So even if you're given $5 a month, that's $60, which you're probably not going to reach your bill for, most of us, and pull out $60. But that's a way that you can be, and that they can sort of work out their budget and count on it. That's a great way to contribute.
Right.
Yeah.
So be sure to do that.
Our favorite radio station.
Right. And this is WCOM LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
And this is Lori Hoyt and Dick Paddock for the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, our Wake Up and Connect the Dots program. And we've been so honored to have one of our favorite people and brothers in working for social justice, David Caldwell.
I want to thank you, David, for coming to be with us and tell us all the things I didn't know about Rena Sear.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
There's always more that you learn. You think you know quite a bit, and then there's always you all do so much.
Right.
Okay, so we'll see you next week, folks. Right, we won't see you, but listen to us next week.
So we're driving, we were talking about the election, where he, you know, he's Obama and me to death. that's what he does, he's Obama and me to death. I said, well, you know what, biggest problem I have with both candidates is that they talk about the middle class and rich people. That's all they're talking about. Middle class this, and we're trying to reach out to the white middle class vote and the white woman's vote and middle class, but they don't talk about poor people. And he just was like, he was blown back because he knew that they didn't talk about poor people. And where I live, I'm poor. And I'm like, they just totally ignore poor people. They don't say anything. They're not doing anything because there is no profit in it. And I was like, and that's how you know that they are for profit and they are not for the people. And they have these corporations backing them. They just promise, but they're not going to give us what we really want. I'm like, because they have other people that they owe. The two main candidates are chosen anyway. Capitalism is maintained because everybody thinks, okay, I'm going to be that lucky one that's going to go from nothing to something. A millionaire, you're probably better off getting struck by lightning. Probably got a better chance. The system will not allow someone that they did not handpick to be elected. So you should not base everything upon an election. You should definitely do other things like boycotting and striking. If you really want to make change, you should take part in strikes and boycotts.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, that's how we got the 8-hour day. That's how we got the weekend. That's how we fought Jim Crow in the South, sit-ins, bus boycotts. That's how we got child labor laws. It's all about the strikes and the boycotts.